You're listening to FMGradio.com. Welcome to The Happiness Choice, a show that shares with you the secrets to how you can find more happiness each day, with your host, Marilyn Tam.
Hello and welcome. This is Marilyn Tam, your host to The Happiness Choice. Today, we bring back Gary Malkin. We had him last week, and he is so great. Gary is a 7-time Emmy Award-winning composer, producer, performer, and public speaker. He is dedicated to making a difference by creating music-driven media and experiences that inspire the heart and catalyze healing. He's contributed to many global projects on environmental sustainability, spiritual tolerance, children's health and welfare, cancer research, and cross-cultural healing. He is also the co-creator of the best-selling CD and book, Graceful Passages, which helps people face life transitions with greater mindfulness, presence, and compassion. He's also co-authored the CD and book called Safe in the Arms of Love, which uses music to strengthen the parent-child bonding process before and after birth. Gary created Wisdom Films, Media for Human Being, which are short format, what he calls meditations, for stress reductions and heart and mind integration. And he's presented in Google's Harvard Conference on Spirituality and Health, Scripps Clinic, UCSF Medical School, and has been featured on many PBS and many other shows. I could go on and on about Gary since he's truthfully a multimedia, musical, and inspirational healing phenomena. So please welcome with me back, Gary Malkin. How are you doing today, Gary?
Doing great, Marilyn. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure and an honor.
So fun. I can't wait to hear your advice to others on how they too can be happy. Because last week we talked about your own secrets to happiness and how you've overcome a lot of challenges, financial and otherwise, and stay maintained being the happy, peaceful, loving person that you are. So how can other people also gain that kind of equanimity and joy in their lives?
You know, I'm going to start with something that I think might be very controversial, but it actually is the bottom line for me, is that when you really acknowledge that life is not a rehearsal and that it's fragile and that it could end any second, you know, what happens when you really, it's not just a concept, but you really get that it could end at any moment. What the natural result of that is gratitude for being alive, right? And that gratitude becomes the most powerful tool for happiness. And so I honestly believe the first and foremost thing I would say is for any of you who are feeling a little blasé or bland or without joy, one of the great ways to get joy is to realize how precious and fragile and rare life is. It's in and of itself. So that's my first thing. Gratitude, genuine gratitude, no matter what the circumstances, is my personally secret weapon for happiness. So that's the, like, if all I said was that, that would be the one, because it's not for sissies.
And I so much agree with you, because I talk about that in my book too. In fact, I share some stories about my own journey where when I was feeling the most miserable and feeling lost, the only way I could get out of that hole of longing and depression and everything was to give thanks. And so,
right.
And it's so hard when we're feeling miserable to find anything to give thanks for. And yet, that is the only way out. So I so much agree with you.
And again, if you remind yourself by looking at people that are less fortunate, and you know, I have a couple of quotes. I'm a quote meister. I love quotes, right? Mm. So one quote that I love that's really fun, it's speaking to this whole issue of accepting our impermanence, you know, is that Mae West, the famous 30s movie star, said, "You only live once, but if you do it right, once is enough." And you can just hear her saying, you only live once, but if you do it right, you can just imagine her. And then the other quote, I have many quotes, but one of them that I love is, and this is another answer to your question, Marilyn, is that one of my keys to happiness is, and it's a surprising one, frankly. It's it comes from this quote, Leo Buscaglia. I don't know if you remember. He's one of the early early guys that used to be on PBS about self-development. Yes. He has a quote that I love. He calls, "What we call the secret to happiness is no more a secret than the willingness to choose life." Mm. The willingness to choose life. So Bruce Cryer and I, the What Makes Your Heart Sing.net partner of, you know, Awakening the Power of Inspiration. That's what that whole What Makes Your Heart Sing. I mean, Bruce and I envision a world, Marilyn, where instead you walk up at a party and instead of the first thing saying, "So where are you from?" or "Who are you?" or "What do you do?" We want a world where the first thing you say is, "So what makes your heart sing?" Mm-hmm. And that's what would make us happy. But the very first kind of rule for being inspired is kind of the one that's at the bottom of everything, which is the power. And this is my estimation. Bruce and I have come to this, the power of willingness. Mm-hmm. And when you think about it, willingness turns out to be the lubrication for all change, for all growth, for all awakening, for all opening. And if we're not willing to look at things newly, if we're not willing to be open to new things, you might as well just dig the ditch and jump into it and proclaim yourself dead, because willingness is the essential ingredient for life moving forward and upward and, you know, to something of meaning. And so that's another key, is what I want to offer you, the listeners, is that where are you kind of rigid in your opinions about, oh, that's too woo-woo, or that's too airy-fairy, or that's too whatever, that's too grounded for me, I want to be an artist, and anything where you have an intensity that impairs your willingness creates a lack of fluidity and a lack of happiness. So that's one of my secrets as well.
And that is so good to be reminded of that our biggest obstacle to happiness is that we're not willing to change. It's like we're unhappy where we are, but we don't want to do anything else to make any change, because what happens is there's a fear, inherent fear in risking. And that risk is what we need to take to make positive change in our lives, or any kind of change. So we have to take that risk and take that step, or more than one step, to get there.
Exactly.
And so the willingness, as you say, is so important.
Yeah. So Bruce and I are working on a book, What Makes Your Heart Sing book. Mm. And we came up with these 10 catalysts for inspired living. Mm-hmm. And the first one that corresponds with the lowest chakra is power of willingness. And I know that not all of your audience loves that chakra nonsense, so I won't even go there. But the next one, the second one that we found is as important, if not that builds on the willingness, mm-hmm. is the power of playfulness. Now, and there's this great quote by the famous songwriter Jason Mraz, which is, don't ever let your mind keep you from having a good time. So, right? So we take ourselves so seriously, and that's another enemy of learning, an enemy of happiness, is if we're not going to be able to have a good time at any moment, then there's some problems going on. There's a real resistance to happiness in that way. So those are two of the 10 catalysts that we've developed. And, you know, I could go on, but I don't know if you want to hear all 10 of them. But the bottom line is these are all of these catalysts for inspired living have to do with inspired living is about happiness. We're
Absolutely.
Talking about the same thing, you know?
So what else? I know you also coach many people, and you've done workshops around the world, and you, of course, you know, sung and created transformative music. So what do you find as one thing that really shifts people's moods and added from reluctance and fear to positivity and happiness? What are some of the things you would suggest for people to do?
Well, again, this is what I'm about to say is not something that I think your audience might find popular, but I'm not here to lie. I'm here to tell the truth as I see it. Mm-hmm. And so I want to say something that's not easy for people to hear, because it's generally the thing that people avoid. But I do need to say it's really an important factor, which is we store in us the places where we're disappointed, where we've had losses, where we've lost people or things or opportunities for jobs that we wish for. They could be everything as simple as I didn't get my parking place today, to I didn't get the job I wanted, to I lost somebody really dear to me. And mm-hmm. these losses are part of life itself. But what's not written into the system is ways of assimilating those losses. And so what I want to say is the biggest obstacle to true happiness is developing ways for you to process and come to terms with the ramifications of loss, the micro losses as well as the big ones. And honestly, I call it loss literacy. If you develop loss literacy, and what that means is whatever is right for you, I mean, like if you lose something that was very dear to you or someone that's very dear to you, and you don't go to the place where you're feeling most at home, like for me, it's going into the heart of nature, to the heart of wilderness, where I can feel the presence of, you know, the great mystery around me, whatever you call it. And when I'm there and I give myself enough quiet time to hear the wind and the trees and the birds and the wilderness, after about an hour, I'm good. I realize, okay, this is the way life works, and I process the loss, right? Well, if it's a big loss, I'm going to need more time. If it's a little loss, I'm going to need 5 minutes, take a breath, and move on. But one way or another, if human beings don't develop a way through those grievances and losses, there's a waxy buildup, and the negative result is your access to happiness. Mm-hmm. It's just you become less shiny. It makes perfect sense when you think about it. But so that's the other really important thing I would say is, yes, we tend to avoid that. You know, most of us don't want to go there. But the truth is, it's at great risk to our happiness if we don't go there on an ongoing basis.
Thank you so much for sharing that, because that truly can also be proven scientifically. And I talk about that in my book, The Happiness Choice, too, where they have shown where people go to nature, as you said, and get regrounded, reoriented, because we are human beings born on this planet, attuned to nature, because we're part of nature, not separate from nature.
Exactly.
And what was so interesting in this study, where they did it, and this is going to be funny when you hear what I'm going to say next, which is the people, they sent them in the deep of winter in Michigan through a cold arboretum to walk for an hour.
Mm.
Those people came back happier, more aligned, and more productive than the people they sent out to the city walking through traffic, chaos, and all the different things happening. They both had an hour outside. One group much warmer than the other. And the group that came back from nature.
I love hearing that. I mean, that's just, you know, it's so self-evident, but we tend to forget that, like, the best therapist in the universe is going out in nature somewhere. It's true.
Happiness comes from being connected back to the bigger whole. And the bigger whole for us all, everyone, is nature. And say, like, you're in a city or in some place where you don't want to go outside, and maybe it's not possible to get to nature, even if you looked at pictures of nature, that helps.
Well, and I'll add one more thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know this, but I found out from some scientists that the linear discriminative aspects of the mind, mm-hmm. you know, our abilities for rational linear thought, funnel through the optic nerve. Mm-hmm. So another really powerful way, if you can't go into nature to actually restore life and juice and happiness back into your heart, is listening. Mm-hmm. When you rest your eyes, I mean, there's a reason that we close our eyes when we're sleeping, because it's ultimately the most restorative. But if you intentionally take 5 minutes and close your eyes and listen to something, ideally something you love, something beautiful, there is a restorative capacity just by listening itself. And there's a whole science by Alfred Tomatis that talks about that the listening capacity of human beings in and of itself is a restorative act. And many, many people forget that there's so much stimuli that funnels through our eyes, but we take for granted that it actually reinforces our linear capacities, where listening is multi-imaginal, multi-dimensional. Mm-hmm. So many people don't understand that listening itself can be a profoundly restorative act.
Well, look at all your music. I'm sure you can recommend several of yours to be very healing and transformative.
Are you encouraging me to be shamelessly self-promotional?
Oh, tell them.
Well, I will say the new album that I've come out with is a thing called Autumn Stillness, and it's just about to be, in the next 3 weeks, it's going to be put on iTunes. And what it is really the principle that when you put music on in your environment, I call it homeopathic sound inducement. You know, it's like you put music in the background in a way that doesn't interfere conversation, phone calls, whatever, but it isn't muzak. It actually helps the environment become more healing and more compassionate and more present, right? So I've created music, I call it the Exhale series, music for sonic sanctuaries for sacred space. And it's a fancy way to just describe that you can be the creator of your own soundtrack to tune your environment to happier, more compassionate, more present, more introspective. I mean, you can tune your home soundtrack to actually support a mood that's conducive to the work that you want to feel like in the home, in the place where you're working. So that's just one of the things that I offer at my website, wisdomoftheworld.com. And there's my shameless self-promotional moment.
Well, thank you. And that's, I can't believe that time went by so fast. Time is almost up. So give us your website again so that they can find out more about you.
So the products you can get, you know, that I just described, wisdomoftheworld.com. To learn more about kind of the encyclopedic overview of everything I'm doing, you can go to garymalkin.com. And to learn more about the work that Bruce Cryer and I are doing, he's the former CEO of the globally acclaimed biotech company HeartMath. And Bruce stepped down as CEO 2 years ago to join this adventure that we're doing. And that's whatmakesyourheartsing.net. And those are the three websites, but they'll all link you to all of them. So going to one of them will lead you to all of them somehow.
Well, thank you so much, Gary Malkin. This is your host, Marilyn Tam of The Happiness Choice, signing off. But before, I want to mention one thing so that people also can get more free tools. On my website, marilyntam.com, there's a free gifts page where you can access a lot of wisdom from people like Gary, and I'm going to convince him, too, to add his wisdom to the website so that we have many experts with their wisdom on my website, marilyntam.com, where you can get free information and insights on how you, too, can always be happy. Marilyn Tam signing off. Thank you and stay happy.
You've been listening to the Happiness Choice Show with host Marilyn Tam. For show info, schedule, and guest bio, be sure to visit www.fmgradio.com/Marilyn Tam. That's MARILYNTAM.